Information, yeah, that's what it's all about tonight. State of the Union Address, or whatever you want to call it. I want to thank those of you who have taken the time and the trouble to write to me in the last few months. Many of you have, and I really appreciate that. I appreciate your input, your thoughts, your ideas, your comments, your constructive criticisms. And I really mean it when I say keep those cards and letters coming. I do appreciate hearing from you and knowing how you feel about things and your concerns. And I try to make an effort to answer you and answer the questions that you have and speak to the issues that you have raised if possible. So I do appreciate it, and I thank you for those of you who have taken the time and the trouble to do that. Now, as we move along tonight, I would like to have you feel free to break in at any time and ask a question. This is kind of a give-and-take session. It's kind of a question-and-answer type of thing. At least that's what I would like to have it be, kind of free-flowing. Let's not wait until the end and you ask your questions then, although we can do that if that's what seems to work out best. But I'm going to be touching on a number of different subjects that kind of relate to what's going on in the Navigators right now, partly related to my own job and things that I've observed. And frankly, from the standpoint of the last 6 months to a year, I couldn't be more encouraged. I feel God is at work. I am giantly pleased and excited about what He is doing in our midst. And I sense that most of you are too. I know that a few of you are struggling. I know that some of the staff are facing some very crucial issues in their lives. I know they're facing hard decisions. But I'd say for the most part, the staff that that Carol and I have visited around the country since the first of the year, we found encouragement, and we're excited about that. Now, I love and enjoy my job. However, like you, there are parts of it that I enjoy more than other parts. There are some things that all of us have to do in our jobs that, you know, we kind of grit our teeth and get at it and get it done, and by God's grace and His help, why we do it. There are other parts that, you know, we really get excited about and revel in. Well, my job is the same way. And to kind of kick it off tonight, I'd like to tell you about the part that I enjoy the most and kind of give you a rundown on what Carol and I have been doing since about the middle of January. We've been traveling out in the areas a lot, and I love it. I couldn't be more excited about doing that, being out mingling with the staff, talking to them, interacting with them, staying in their homes, being involved in ministry. And we've had a ball since the middle of January. We left here January the 9th and headed to California for the Pacific Staff Conference. And we're there for about 3 days. Met one night with Jerry White and the SDs about midnight. And I don't know how long we went. Most of the guys were pretty groggy. But we had a couple of good hours together from midnight to 2 a.m. The conference was exciting. The Lord really obviously had His hand on that conference in a very unique and wonderful way, and we just counted it a privilege to be there. I had to come back for one day at the board of directors here and then went back out to California, and due to some the friendship of some very dear people that we've known over the years, they were gone from their home and they let Carol and I use it for 5 days, and it rained all 5 days in California, but that helped us accomplish our objective, because our objective was to spend time in the Word and prayer and thinking and planning. And so we had 5 fantastic days in Long Beach, California, right after the Pacific Staff Conference, from the 15th to the 19th of January. Then we went up to Seattle and were there for about 5 days with Jerry White, Roger Fleming, and all the staff from the Northwest. Saw some of the ministries, got involved in the ministry somewhat, and were just greatly encouraged by what we saw God doing. We left Seattle on the 28th and flew to Toronto and joined Al Andrews and all the Canadian staff for 3 days and had a great time of interaction with them on the subject of marriage. And of course, as you know, that's one of Carol and my favorite subjects. And we just had a great time with the Canadian staff. It was exciting to see what the Lord is doing up there, and particularly to see the new crop of young staff that are coming along, and to meet them and talk to them and see how God is working in their lives. Of course, the situation in Quebec is really exciting. Al is here. I don't know how many, what the latest count is, but they've had 50 or 60 come to know Christ this year in the ministry in Quebec. And Dave Ross and that gang there are just about out of their minds with excitement of what God is doing. We left there on February 1, flew to Washington, D.C., and joined Bob Lewis and the state directors from the Northeast for 2 days and interacted with them on various items of business. Mostly I just listened and learned, but it was a good time of fellowship with the guys. And I try to have it as an objective of mine to sit in on one SD meeting, the regional director and his state directors, one of their meetings once a year. So five times, you know, a year I do that with each region. And it's really informative for me. It's very helpful. And sometimes we have a key issue that we need to interact on. And we knock heads once in a while and have a good time. Then we went down to Virginia with Fred Funches for about 4 days and traveled around Virginia and saw the ministries there, had a great time, and was greatly encouraged by what the Lord is doing in Virginia. Got back on the 7th of February and had a day and a half here with the Midwest staff, who were just wrapping up their staff conference, and they had lunch with Ray Ho and his state directors and talked with them for 2 or 3 hours about various items that are going on in the Midwest and various things that are of interest to both of us. Then, on the 9th of February, I think that was it, right around there, comes the hard part of my job, going back into the office. After 4 weeks of travel like that, being out in the areas, interacting with the staff, ministering, speaking at a conference here and there, speaking to the staff, the first day back in the office, it is impossible for me to describe how that is. It's just, it's horrible. But I pray about it because I know what what it's going to be like, and so the Lord usually gives me a good attitude at least. And of course I've got a fantastic secretary in Yvonne Anderson, and she and the guys here at headquarters pretty well stay on top of things so that the desk when I get back isn't stacked that high. But still, it's part of probably the hardest part of my job is that aspect of it, the desk work. But it has to be done. It comes with the territory, as someone said. And so all of us have those types of things. Then about 10 days later, I left for Jacksonville, Florida, and spent 2.5 days with Terry Taylor and the Southeast State Directors, interacting with them on various items of business and the ministry and going over their strategy for the Southeast. Larry Whitehouse came down and took part in the last day of that, and then Larry and I shoved off and spent a couple of days together, being the old buddies that we are, and talked about various things regarding the ministry while we hit a little white ball around some green grass for a couple of days. Came back home and spent part of the day with Jim White and the Western Region State Directors. Had a good time with them, and then the next day after that, Myron Rush's seminar started. We went from the 7th, 8th, and 9th of March. And that was really an exciting experience. Some of you guys have just finished a 3-day seminar with Myron, and so you know what I'm talking about. It really was well put together. I learned much. And I think that Myron is going to continue to make a significant contribution to our work here in the U.S. And in fact, is even now getting invitations to come overseas to put on his seminar on leadership and management. And he is so practical, down to earth. He knows and loves the navigators, and so he has something to say to us. And I really appreciated the 3 days with him. The next 2 days were spent with Terry and the Southeast directors and Sandy going over the FOM. And that was also a treat. It was only about the 28th time I've been through the FOM with Sani. But I learned something new every time. That was the 10th and the 11th of March, and then the 13th through the 15th, all the RDs were here, and we had an RD conference. And I'll tell you just a little bit more about that later on, some of the highlights of it. Flew back to a wedding in the Midwest and spent part of a day in Chicago with Ray Ho on the way home, and then left for North Carolina to be with Bob Lovern and his staff, and participated in a weekend conference, and then 2 days with the staff later in the 23rd to the 26th of March. And then really had a good time. That was a superb time. The weather was terrible. In North Carolina, I thought that time of the year, you know, it'd be balmy and warm, and Lovern turns on the cold weather and rain and wind. But we really had a fantastic time. About 400 people, I think, at that weekend conference. And then we stayed over, all the staff, and had 2 days together and just had a superb time, a good time of fellowship and prayer and talking about the things of the ministry together. Then Carol and I had the opportunity to go down to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and visit some friends of ours down there. And had a little ministry, but mostly just a little R&R. Carol got to speak to a lady's coffee one morning. That was rather an interesting experience for her. The kind of people that live at Hilton Head Island are out of sight. They just, you know, it's an unreal world. But they sure need the gospel. And Carol had an opportunity to preach the gospel that morning. I had a chance to speak in a little new church that is just getting underway there on the island. It's the only evangelical church on the island. And then also I had the opportunity to speak to the Christian guys who were on the golf tour. The Heritage Classic was on that week. And usually every Tuesday night before a tournament, there's a group of about 25 of the guys on the pro circuit that get together for what they call a Bible study. We would call it something else, but, you know, bless their hearts, they're doing all they know to do. So I spoke to them on scripture memory and really had a good time with them. And I got to know three or four of them later that week as we got to see the golf tour, and I'd follow them around and chat with them one hole or another, and then go out on the practice range afterwards and talk with them. Especially I got to know a guy by the name of Wally Armstrong quite well, and a fellow by the name of Larry Nelson. I gave them all that night a Beginning with Christ packet. And challenged them to memorize one verse of scripture a week. And that these were the first five that they should start on. And I think they were a little startled at that. They, you know, the idea of doing something like that never had really dawned on some of them. But two or three of them kind of chimed in and kind of thought, well, yeah, maybe I could do one a week. That probably wouldn't be too much. And you know, there was a guy there, he was a guest, he was a visitor, but apparently had known some of the pros, by the name of Clebe McClary. Is that right? McClary? He's an ex-Marine, was shot up pretty badly during the Vietnam War, stepped on a landmine or something, lost an arm, one eye, almost his life. He's written a book, travels around the country giving his testimonies. He's in evangelistic work. Quite a dynamic guy. Well, afterwards he came up to me and said, you really think that a Marine can memorize one verse of scripture a week? And I said, Clebe, you can do it, buddy. You can do it. Well, got a letter from him the other day, and he wanted, I also gave them each of the people there. There were some couples, some of the wives were there that night, and I gave them a copy of our book, Marriage Takes More Than Love, as someone has entitled it, Love Takes More Than Marriage. But I gave them a copy of it, and Clebe wrote me the other day, and he said, could somehow you send me a case of those things? It's really terrific, and I find that I want to give one to people, and I don't have any to give away. Could you send me a case of them? And he said, just send me a case and tell me how much they cost. Well, you know, I don't know whether he knew how much a case was or not, but it's 60 books. And, you know, that's a couple of hundred bucks. So I got the best price I could get from Dan Rich and drew him down a little bit and wrote Klebe. And at the end of the letter, I said, by the way, how are you doing on those five verses? If you've got those done, there's another thing I'd like to send you. That it's a new little deal that the Navigators have come out with. And it's 36 more verses, and it's a little Bible study scripture memory combination. And if you'd like to have that and you finish those five verses, just let me know. Well, I got a letter back from him a couple days ago ordering two cases of books and wanting this Bible study scripture memory thing. And last week I also wrote the guys who were there that night and reminded them that 5 weeks have now gone by and they ought to know those five verses and sent them this next deal. It's kind of a kick. I'm hoping the Lord will open the door for me to have a further ministry with some of those guys. Then after Hilton Head, we went down to Birmingham and spent 4 days there with Norm Perdue and the gang there and just had a fabulous time and interacted with the gang one night who are involved in the med school there in the ministry that we have at the med school, a bunch of doctors and dentists, or, you know, they're going to be doctors and dentists one of these days. And a good time, and then we went down to the southern part of the state and had a marriage seminar over the weekend, and they had about 110 couples there from all over the state, and that was really one of the highlights of the trip. It was just a superb time. God really used it, the caliber of people that were there, doctors, lawyers, very prominent people in the state. And we have heard from several of them since then and how the Lord used that weekend to touch their hearts and change their lives and change their marriage. And so we're very delighted. And that brought us back home the first part of April, and here we are. Now, in all that traveling, what have we learned? Well, I think the thing that has stood out to me is that the spirit of our gang, our staff around the country is really good. Since the first of the year, I have been face-to-face, not only at the RD meeting, but on their own turf with every regional director. I've had the opportunity to interact with every state director team. I've talked to dozens and dozens of staff personally, face-to-face, plus, you know, in small groups and so forth. And as I think back on the whole time and put it all together, the spirit of the Navigator staff around the U.S. is really good, I feel. And it's growing. It's intensifying. There is a sense of momentum that I sense in the staff. A sense of expectancy of what God is going to do. There is a greater degree of openness among all of us, I sense, than I've ever experienced before. Open to the Lord, open to one another. Most everybody that I run into is looking for answers. They're open. They want to learn. And I feel that this is a strength that exists in the staff today. And so as a result of all those travels, I couldn't be more excited about what we've seen. I'm very grateful to the Lord for what He is doing. Now, don't I don't want to gloss over problems. I know we've got problems. And I know there are some of the staff that are going through some hard times. I'm aware of some of them. I'm not aware of all of them. But overall, I really feel that God is doing a new thing in our hearts and that there is a sense of commitment and expectancy and a spirit of openness and teachability that is really exciting. Another one of the things that is very encouraging to me, questions anytime, just raise your hand or holler out or stop me or something, throw something, is that at last we are stabilized in the leadership at the top, the RDs. We have five fantastic guys, I feel, in the RD slots in the five regions. They are godly men. They work hard. They're concerned. They're creative. They are united in heart. They respect and love one another. There is a spirit among them of giving and of sharing and a desire to do what is best for the good of the whole. I sense these qualities in the men when I'm around them individually, and I certainly sense it when we're in a meeting, in our RD meetings together. I could get a little sentimental at this point because I dearly love these guys. And I don't know of any group of men that I have ever worked with that I have enjoyed more and appreciated more. And I feel that they feel the same way about each other. There is a real sense of oneness and of unity and of appreciation for one another's gifts. And of course, they are different. You think of our Chinese friend over here, Ray Ho, and then, you know, who's about this tall, and then Bob Lewis, an ex-jet marine pilot, and all that goes with that. And all Ray Ho knew in his early days was bananas, and all Bob Lewis knew was, you know, airplanes. And then our doctor, our PhD in astronautics or whatever it is, Jerry White, you know, he comes in from a different part of the ballpark. And then Jim White, the newest guy on the team, a godly ex-missionary, has given a whole new dimension to that team of guys with his years of experience in the ministry and particularly on the mission field. And then our eye doctor, Terry Taylor, who keeps us on track with, you know, his precise vision and his detailed mindedness. And so I feel the Lord has done a really magnificent thing in putting this team of guys together for right now. And in so doing, stabilizing the work in the U.S. There are a few changes taking place between now and next fall at the state director level. Most of them I'm sure you're aware of. Lauren White, who has been in charge of our work in New England, is moving to Florida and will be the state director for Florida. Bob Byrd, who has been the state director for Florida, will be moving to San Antonio and taking over that work there. Fred Funches, who's had Virginia, will be moving to New England and taking Lauren White's place in New England. And Norm Perdue, who has been in charge of the work in Birmingham, is moving to Virginia and will be the state director for the state of Virginia. Warren George is moving from Michigan to Fresno, California, and will be the SD for Central California. And then John Crawford, bless his heart, old John Crawford, is coming home from the mission field and is going to move to Oklahoma City. I think that's the last word I've gotten. And will be the state director for Oklahoma and North Texas. And I think that's all the moves that I could think of. Can any of you guys think of any others at the state director level? I may have missed one. We still need a man to head up our European military ministry. As most of you probably know, Joe Lee Holt has resigned from the staff, and that leaves quite a gaping hole in our German military ministry, and we're looking for the right man for that, and we would appreciate your prayer. Any questions so far? Okay, keep going. Huh? Yeah, Nate? Joe Lee and Pam are moving to Fort Worth, and either Fort Worth or Dallas, I'm not sure. Dallas, and he's going to be taking some work at Dallas Seminary and tying in a little bit with Gordon Van Amberg, and doing some things with them. In talking with Joe, there are some things that he and Pam want to work out and work on, and I sort of get the feeling that it's a temporary thing, and they feel they need to do this, and we've tried to convince them that they ought to stay on the staff, and we try and help them do what they want to do anyway, but they feel this is the right thing for now. My guess is in a couple of years or so, Joe and Pam will be back on the staff. The advisory committees. We've talked about those. Rich mentioned the Black Advisory Committee last night. We have a military one headed by Bob Lewis, a community advisory committee that has just been formed, headed by Jerry White, and a collegiate advisory committee headed by Terry Taylor. Now, the basic purpose of these is to be a resource to the RD team and to do a lot of the staff work for the RD team. They are just that. They're an advisory group to the regional directors and myself in their area of specialty, in areas of strategy and personnel moves and various activities that they feel are needed. And they will make recommendations to the regional directors. And the little bit of experience that we've had with it thus far, particularly with the military committee and the Black Advisory Committee, has just been super. I feel that God really has led us in this. Now, we're just getting underway with the community one and the collegiate one, and neither of those have even had a meeting yet because they've just been newly formed. We thought about having a women's advisory committee, and in talking with some of the gals, they felt that it would be better if we didn't go that route, but we put two gals on each of the committees, the community and the collegiate, which is what we've done, so that the input for the gals' ministry will be through those advisory committees. Now, Bob Lewis, I understand, is going to give a little report tomorrow night on the military advisory committee. Rich kind of told us a little bit about the Black committee last night. There's not much yet to say about the community and the collegiate, because they're just beginning to get underway. But do you have any questions on that? Be happy to try and answer them if I can. Yeah.
I was wondering, it was really helpful to hear Rich's presentation about the conference. I just wondered, is there any overall things that might be shared about the community staff conference would be of interest to all of us?
You mean the one that we had? Yeah. Let's see, who was at the community staff conference? Yeah, Jerry White had the responsibility, and Beth said something about that. Is Jerry White here? Here he is. Jerry, you want to say a word about the community staff conference?
I think that the men and women who were at the community conference were particularly encouraged at the unity that was involved, and having, of course, been a vote, there was a very significant difference between it. As you looked out, there were very shiny spots on occasion, and then there were lots of gray. And that was one of the significant things, the maturity of the group and the way they responded to everything was a very, very unusual experience. They responded very, very practically, as opposed to just on a philosophical basis. They were very encouraged with the way that their relationships were going. There was less tension, I would say, than any of us expected, because community has not been an easy area to work in over the years. It's been probably where there have been the most old little things that were bothersome about various guidelines that we have. But I would say it was a tremendously unifying conference, and almost without exception, there was a real spiritual emphasis as well as a lot of sharing with one another that went on at that conference. So I felt it went far beyond our expectations, both in the messages that were there, one of which you're going to hear, in fact, Jim spoke, and one Leroy shared, one of his, which he will also be sharing with you. I felt the Lord answered real prayer. Denny, you were at that conference. Is there anything particular that you would want to add to that? You were very vitally involved in the living in the community.
Great spirit of enthusiasm. Appreciation, I think, that the staff were looking very seriously at the community work and that was great encouragement to them.
Good, I think that's good.
Okay, thank you. Just thought of something I wanted to. Yeah, Paul?
Do you know? About
80,
wasn't it?
80? I don't remember.
Maybe
In the little blue book that you've been given, you probably saw, I don't have mine with me. You probably saw some sheets back here entitled Centurion Church Planting. And you wondered, what in the world is going on? Well, let me mention a word about that. An old buddy of mine from Wheaton days by the name of Royal Peck is coming in Wednesday night and going to spend all day Thursday with us, and we're going to give him an hour or so Thursday morning to talk to us about this program. Royal, for probably 20 years or so, was in Italy working with Greater Europe Mission. And he and I were good friends at Wheaton, and I hadn't seen him for years. And in 1965, Carol and I happened to come through Rome on a trip overseas and just called him up one night. We got it to our hotel about 10:30 at night, called Royal, and he was the director of the Italian Bible Institute, run under the auspices of the Greater Europe Mission at that time. And chatted on the phone. He wanted to know where we were staying. He says, man, you never should have stayed at a hotel. You should have come out here. We got a guest room. He says, how you feeling? I said, fine. He says, you tired? And I says, well, no, not really. He says, well, I'll come down and pick you up and take you on a tour of Rome. 10:30 at night. I said, man, don't do that. I said, how long will it take you to get here? I said, about 45 minutes. No, 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 don't do that. Oh, yeah, you got to see Rome at night. It's the only way to go. He says, besides, I got to bring somebody downtown anyway. I'll see you in about 45 minutes. So about 11:15, sure enough, Royal shows up with a big Volkswagen bus. And for the next 2 hours, we get a tour of Rome, a night tour of Rome. Even to the point of going down to the Circus Maximus and opening the gate and roaring around the Circus Maximus in this Volkswagen bus. Well, then he insisted we come out to the Bible Institute, and we stayed there in their guest room. We were planning to stay in Rome one night, and he convinced us we needed to stay 3 days. And so we did, and I had an opportunity to speak to the students at the Italian Bible Institute through a translator. Just had a fantastic time with him and his wife and the gang there. And ever since then, we've stayed in touch with one another. Well, he has left the Greater Europe Mission now and is heading up an outfit called Christ's Mission. It's a mission that's been in existence for about 95 years, but it's kind of gone downhill, and they needed an executive director, and they asked Royal to consider it, and he has taken it. And one of the main thrusts of their ministry is this short-term approach to missions, which is described in those four pages. And when I talked to him two or three times on the phone in the last three or four months, and we were going to try and meet last month back on the East Coast, and it just didn't work out. So when we talked on the phone a couple of 3 weeks ago, I said, why don't you come to our collegiate staff conference and just share what's on your heart? Because we've got a lot of disciple makers that are coming out of our collegiate ministry that probably would be interested in the kind of thing you're doing in Europe. Well, he really got excited about that, and so he agreed to come. So the purpose for his coming is to share with you, interact with you, answer your questions, with the idea of funneling some of our alumni into this kind of a program. And it's a 2.5-year deal they commit themselves to. They have 1 month orientation. They spend 5 months learning the language, and then they spend 2 years in the ministry. And a team of 25 goes into a town in Italy or Spain or France, and their purpose is to do evangelism and disciple making with the eventuality of, after 5 years, there are two sets of teams that work under the same leadership. You go in for 2 years, and then another team comes in and picks up and does it 2 years. In 5 years, they want to start a church. Well, it's the very type of thing that I feel a lot of our people coming off the campus would really groove on. It would give them a taste of the mission field, and the Lord could use it to make it a long-term thing with them and call them to the mission field. Royal is a fantastic guy. He's very dynamic. He's very outgoing. He's got red hair even. How about that? And so I'm excited that he's coming. And I think once you hear him talk and get to meet him, why, you'll be excited about it too. So that's what this thing is all about, church planting. We don't talk much about that in the Navigators, but we're going to talk about it Thursday morning a little bit. Another, any questions? Royal can answer them for you. You got any? Another thing that I considered a great privilege in my job is working with the guys here at headquarters. And as you know, Bob Sheffield is kind of my right-hand man here and U.S. Deputy Director. And Bob and I are buddies from way back. And I couldn't do the kinds of things that I just described to you traveling like we do if it was not for Bob and Rod Sargent and Jerry Bridges being here. They really hold the thing together. And they are men who walk with the Lord. They seek His wisdom and direction on the major decisions that they have to make from time to time here. We meet together every week on Tuesday for prayer and sharing and bringing one another up to date and interacting on various items of business. And just recently, we have added two other men to that team, Al Lunsford and Dan Rich. And I think you got a little blurb in the mail on the switch that we've made with the communications department. And Dan now has taken over as what, for want of a better title, he's the Director of Communications and Publications. And we've lumped all of publications and communications, everything that is related to that, under one head now, which is something we've known we needed to do eventually. And we feel we've got the right man to do it, and Dan. And he is really turned on and excited about the job. And we are thrilled that with some of the plans that he's already making and some of the research that he's doing. And you will be the beneficiaries of a lot of that in the months to come. Because he is going to make it possible for us to do some things that we've never had the capability of doing before. For instance, just producing a simple little thing like a good brochure, you know, for specialized functions of some kind or another that you might want. And Dan is working on how we can do that. Most of you probably know that Dave Rice has now taken over as the director of Glen Eyrie, taking from Russ Reed, who has now gone to work for with John Watts in Rod Sargent's department. And just so you'll know, Rod is in charge of fundraising. Jerry Bridges has all the financial services and also handles the legal affairs of the Navigators. Now Jerry is not a lawyer, obviously, but he keeps in touch with all of the legal fineries that we must stay in touch with, and we have a couple of lawyers that we work with on those types of things, and Jerry is our contact there. Al Lunsford has administrative services, and then Dan, this new entity called the Communications and Publications Department. Questions? Okay. How are you doing? Are you getting tired of this?
Huh?
Yeah.
What kind of projects is Monty working on besides the law?
Monty Unger. Charles Monty Unger. He is leaving the staff as of the end of August and is going to do some freelancing. This is something that Chuck's had on his heart for a couple of years. And I think that desire and this move with Dan kind of coincided, and he's got some things that he wants to try and do, some writing primarily. He'd like to try and write a couple of books. But also, are already negotiating with him to do some freelance stuff for us. And he's already up to his eyeballs in work. He's got more to do than he can do. Right now, you know, he's over in Europe. He just finished, I think, this communication seminar this is the second one he's had over there, and he's had one out in the Orient. And he probably will continue to do that for us also for 2 or 3 years. So even though Chuck is leaving the staff, he's still going to work for the Navigators and make a significant contribution. but in a little different way. We're going to have to find somebody to do the log. He's got, I think, the next two or three issues already done. So, you know, we got time. You want to stand up? Why don't you stand up? Denny Repko just reminded me of a couple of the highlights at the community staff conference, which really were highlights. For one thing, we spent a whole day on evangelism. And as those of you who are at all familiar with the community ministry, it's one of the toughest aspects of the community ministry. It's far more difficult to get at and do and be aggressive in and take initiative in than, for instance, on the college campus where the government has set up those nice big dorms and those fish are all there. And well, it isn't like that in the community, but they spent one whole day just talking about evangelism. Leroy spent quite a bit of time with the gang who were here. They interacted in small groups, shared ideas, and so forth. Then also we spent almost a whole day on the 2-7 ministry, explaining what it is, how it operates, and how it can be of service to those that are in the community ministry. And I think that was quite an eye-opener to a lot of the gang who are here who are not familiar with the 2-7 and how God really is using it. So those were a couple of highlights to answer your question on the community ministry that Denny reminded me of. Let me just mention a couple of other things, and then we're going to quit. I think you're getting tired, and I know I am. The USRD meeting, just a couple of highlights from that. That was held in March. We spent a day and a half going over the personnel allocation sheets that had been approved at the International Leadership Team meeting in December. The ILT meets in December, and at that meeting they approve all of the new missionary slots for overseas. Then when we get together, the USRD team, when we get together, we take those and go through them and consider them. And of course, they and the RDs have talked with their state directors and some of you. And if Jim Peterson joined us for that day and a half, came up from Latin America, spent that day and a half with us, and it was tremendously advantageous to have Jim there because Latin America was asking for 13 new people. And just to interact with him and find out what kind of people they needed and what the situation was like in each slot. And we would take sometimes a half an hour, an hour, to talk about one situation and the kind of person that's needed there. And as a result of that time together, we talked about 29, as near as I could calculate, 29 approved rep slots over the next 2 years. And we were able to make recommendations on 22 of them. And hopefully all of those, in one way or another, will come to fruition, which was a very great encouragement to us. We also decided that we needed a new staff institute on a national basis. I know that many of the regions, in fact, I think most of the regions, have a new staff institute of some kind each year. But in discussing the implications of a growing staff and of familiarity with headquarters and what goes on back here and meeting some of the leadership and just seeing Glen Eyrie, we felt that we needed to start having one, and so we will have one beginning next year in May. Is that right? Is it 80 or 81?
80?
Well, that's what the minutes said, but I was under the assumption that we'd said 81. So it's May 25 to 31, 1980, here at the Glen. So those were a couple of significant things. Now, most of you, I think, are aware that the U.S. regional directors and the EMMA regional directors, Europe, Middle East, and Africa, are getting together in Germany this month, the end of this month, for 5 days. And I'm sure that some of you maybe have questions about that. Well, what the fat? Why do those guys go overseas? You know, why should they get together? What's all that about? And I can understand why you might feel that way. We've been talking about this for over a year. We have felt a need for it. primarily because of the communication gaps that we have, some of the misunderstandings that we have. And I personally feel it would be well worthwhile every 2 to 3 years for the USRDs and the top leadership teams from PAN, that's the Pacific areas, from Latin America and from Europe, to get together and just talk about things of mutual interest. The purpose of the get-together is to strengthen relationships and build confidence based upon mutual understanding. And that's what we're striving for, is mutual understanding. Now, let me just read you some of the things that are on the agenda for that meeting. Each of the guys, of course, will give a report of their region, just to bring everybody up to date. We will also talk about the next 3 years in terms of what is going to happen in EMMA. What are their needs going to be in terms of missions and missionaries? What new things are they going to try that maybe we can help them with? What are the opportunities? What are their objectives? Then the major topic will be on the subject of missions, obviously. We're going to talk about such things as selection. How can we do a better job? How about orientation, both on this side of the ocean as well as that side of the ocean? What more can we do? What do we need to do? How about supervision on the field? Field evaluations. How can we help those guys, and how can they be a better service to us on this side? Finances. What are the problems they're running into? How can we be of greater help? Furloughs. There are all kinds of entanglements and problems that we're running into with furloughs. Some guys want to come home for 1 month, some want to come home for three, some want to come home for 18. And the guy that wants to come home for 3 months and he's got to raise $700 a month new support, you know, we just kind of throw up our hands. Well, we need to talk about things like that, and so that we can have an understanding of where each other are coming from on some of these issues. So those are some of the things, just overall, that we're going to be talking about and just interacting on. And Donald McGilchrist will be there. The five RDs from the U.S. will be there. And then Roger Anderson, Herk Dornenbaugh, Marv Smith, Paul Stanley, Bob Badano will all be there. Jim Downing. And then Bob Sheffield will be there. And Dan Rich will also be there for a couple of days. Bob is taking Dan with him to make some contacts in Europe regarding NAV Press and the distribution of our materials in 3 or 4 countries in Europe. So Dan is going to sit in on a couple of days of that meeting. So that will give you a little idea. Now also, one of the things that I've asked the RDs to do is to get overseas into 1 or 2 or 3 countries at least once every other year. And Sani has put in my job description for me to get overseas and visit 1 or 2 or 3 countries every year. Now, why? I know that there must be questions that arise in some of your minds. Well, it's pretty simple, really. We have 132 American missionaries overseas right now, to the tune of $3 million. Now, we need to stay in touch with them. We need to know their problems. We need to interact with them. We need to find out how we can be of greater service to them from this side of the water. We need to talk to country leaders and find out what their plans are so that we can help meet them down the road. We need to know what's going on in the NAV mission field. And for the next few years, at least, the United States of America gang is going to be the major resource for men and money for the NAV missionary movement around the world. And so we just need to be in touch, and we need to see it firsthand. We need to have understanding. And I know it's expensive. Flying overseas is not cheap. But $3 million is a lot of bucks to have invested, and we need to keep firsthand information. And it's really helpful when we come to a session like we did last March, and here Ray Ho had just gotten back from Japan, Singapore, and Indonesia. And we're considering slots for all of those places. And so he can give us a first-hand report. He's talked to Bordy. He's talked to Dave Dawson. He's interacted with Jim North. And they've talked about these men that they need. And, you know, you read a job description. Well, a job description really doesn't say a whole lot sometimes. When you think of some of the country leaders that write job descriptions for men that they need, in their whole lifetime, they may write three or four. Well, you know, they're not really pros at it. So it helps. So when Ray came back, for instance, from Japan and from Indonesia particularly, he had interacted with North and the other staff, and he could say, well, now this is what Jim really means. Well, it's tremendously helpful in order for us to do a better job at selecting. So that's why. And I just trust that you get behind these guys and really help them financially in making these trips. Now, a week from Tuesday, Carol and I are leaving for overseas. And I didn't say what I just said in order to sell you on the fact that we ought to go overseas, but because it's something that Sandy has asked us to do. And, of course, I am thrilled that Carol can go with me. And the Midwest gang have used a couple of their conferences to raise some money for the trip for us, and we're deeply appreciative of that. The only reason I mention it to you is I would appreciate your prayer. We're going places that are strategic in the NAV work. They are strategic from the standpoint of the U.S. sending in the future, and they are places that I've never been before. Some of them are. We leave next Tuesday. We go to Germany first, and we will be with the U.S. military staff for a weekend couples conference, and then for 2 days with the staff afterwards. Bob Lewis and I both will be at that. And then I go down to this five-day meeting with the Emma RDs, and Carol is going to go visit Phyllis Stanley and Nancy Advocat and tie into some of their ministry. They've got her going from morning till night. I've seen their schedules, but Carol loves it. Now, some of the RDs also are going to be speaking at staff conferences and various functions, and I'd like to have them mention that. I can't remember all of it. Let's see. Ray, you're going to be in Yugoslavia. Tell us about that.
I'm going to go to Yugoslavia for about 5 days, which will include a weekend conference in Zagreb with a theme of excellence. So Ron Bennett will be accompanying me down there.
Terrific. Okay, let's pray for Ray and that conference in Yugoslavia. Lewis, where else are you going besides the thing in Germany?
Spain, the Spanish, and French.
You're speaking at the Spanish... And is that one conference together?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's pray for Bob as he speaks there. What about Jim, Jerry? Are you guys... Yeah, Jerry?
Yes. I'll be spending time in England, Great Britain, ministering for a week to students in Northern England, the community ministry in London, then the student and community Birmingham, and then a week of the Great Britain staff.
Okay. Pray for Jerry. Jim White, is he here tonight? Yeah, Jim?
Yeah, I would appreciate prayer for the African staff. It won't be on this trip, but the July.
Good. That'll be kind of like old home week, won't it?
Right.
Yeah. Terrific. When is that, in July?
Well, first week in August, but we're going to Ghana the last week in July to see what's going on, and then we'll follow up to the staff.
Terrific. Okay. Terry, you here?
Jack, I'll be visiting one of Steve Covell's ministries in Great Britain. We can work over there.
Good. Thank you. Then after that RD get together, Carol and I go down to Ghana. We'll be there about 5 days, and speaking to various groups, but mostly just spending time with the staff. The main purpose of our trip is to get time with the staff, interact with them, get to know their situations, find out about their ministry, and find out how we can be of more help to them from the U.S. Then we go to Nairobi. Same thing. We'll be there about 5 or 6 days with Bruce Van Wyk and the staff in Kenya. Then we go to Egypt, and we'll be both in Cairo and in Alexandria Bud and Joyce Van Est, you know, have just recently moved to Alexandria, and we'll be there for 3 days with them. And he's got a couple of things lined up for me there that are a little bit scary. I'm not sure what I'm getting into. And then we'll be with Nabil, Jabour, and Barbara in Cairo for 3 days. And then we go to Lebanon for 2 days, and we'll be with Vedano and the rest of the staff that will be there at that time. And then back to Europe, we'll be in Vienna. And then we go into 3 Eastern European countries for about 10 days total. And I obviously am quite excited about that. And just looking at the visas on our passports for those countries is exciting. It's interesting. But I got a good letter from Dave Grissom today, and outlining some of the things that we will be doing. And about a year ago, Dave wrote to me, and he said, could you autograph and send us about 25 copies of your book? And we would like to distribute them to some of our key people in about 3 or 4 different countries behind the Iron Curtain. So we did. And he got them, and we're going to get to meet all those people. And one gal who has it, Dave wrote just the letter I got today, is translating it into Romanian. I told that to Carol on the phone tonight. She just about came unglued. That's really exciting. Then we'll end up the trip in Germany and spend a couple of days with Paul and Phyllis Stanley. And then since September the 3rd is our 30th wedding anniversary, we're going to celebrate at the end of the trip and go over to England and spend a few days there and borrow Steve Covell's car while he's here on furlough and travel around Great Britain a little bit. So we would really appreciate your prayer. We'll be gone altogether 10 weeks. That's a fifth of a year. It's a long time, and we've got all kinds of medicine and antibiotics that Bob Ridley has given us in case, you know, and so we would just appreciate your prayer for the ministry that God gives us, for our interaction with the staff, for safety of travel, and for good health. You know, it is amazing that all the travel that navigators do in cars and on airplanes and so forth, that to my knowledge, we have never lost a staff person in a travel accident. That's absolutely astounding to me. But it's got to be God's hand of protection. So we'd appreciate your prayer. I'm finished. Any questions? Yeah.
About 3 things on my mind. One would be, I heard there was going to be an emphasis on reaching Muslim students. And I wonder if you could say anything about the international student emphasis this summer. And then third would be, could you choose some people in the audience to pray for your trip and the RD trip?
Be glad to. Nate, you're the man to tell us about this deal that's coming up with you and Vedano and the crew from the Middle East.
Yes, there are a number of Arabs who were discipled back in Lebanon who are studying in the States. Some have graduated and can't find a job back to the Middle East, at least by correspondence. And it's been on Bob's heart to increase the workforce by 50%. And what he'd like to do in the summer of 1980 is to take 12 to 18 people from here, mostly Arabs, some Americans, for a 6-week special thrust in the Middle East. And one of the objectives would be for some of these Arabs to personally apply for jobs in person and try and get them there. So this is a major factor that will be included in an international conference that we're going to have here at the Glen, August 8th, 25. The last 3 days of it will emphasize reaching Muslims. And the man who is probably the leading voice on Muslim evangelism, will be here to give a series of workshops on how to do that, particularly using the new publication, Seven Cultural Christian Principles. Then on international students, we're having a kind of a pilot training program in Madison of seven disciple makers who will come there and tie in with us. These are people who have either international students on their hearts or the mission field. And we hope to give them some input that will prepare them for that, as well as they will play a role in enhancing the local ministry. If I could just take advantage of this, I'm sure there are international students, Christians, that you're in touch with, that you would like to come to this conference. If you would simply send their names and addresses to me, I'll take care of the rest.
Thanks, Nate. I can't tell you how much I appreciate what Nate has done over the last year or so in getting a ministry off the ground, totally experimental. We didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know whether it would work or not up at the University of Wisconsin. But God has really put his hand on that ministry and blessed it in an unusual way. And I think given Nate some real insight as to how to carry on a ministry with international students and really make it pay off in the area of disciple making. And I know one of the things that I would like to see happen over the next 5 years maybe or so is for the Lord to raise up some other staff people who really would have a burden on their heart, a genuine burden from God, to minister to international students here in the U.S. and go up and spend a couple of months with Nate and see what he's doing, and then locate on another campus that would be a strategic campus from the standpoint of the number and the kind of international students that would be there. We have a tremendous advantage in working with international students in that when they do and if they do go back to their home country, the chances are pretty good that we've got a ministry there going that they can tie into. And I feel that this is something down the road that we want to really seriously pray about and consider and ask some staff to get involved in. Now, the old man that was back here last night that had so many kids and won all the honors, I should have taken the trouble to really introduce him to you last night, and it just slipped my mind. And Bob, I'm sorry about that. But stand up, Bob. This is Bob Tosse. Most of you probably don't know Bob. But he and his dear wife have been long-time friends of the Navigators. Not only friends of the Navigators, they're navigators. And for a number of years, Bob, how many years were you out in Nigeria?
Four.
4 years. Bob teaches veterinary medicine at Kansas State University, and he was over there on some kind of exchange program in Nigeria teaching veterinary medicine. And got a very significant disciple-making ministry going while they were there. And now they're back at Kansas State and excited about a ministry there with foreign students. And so I know that they would appreciate your prayer. And some exciting things have happened just this year down there at Kansas State. So pray for Bob Tosse. Any other questions? Yeah. Leroy Irons. Leroy Irons is the ambassador for everything for the Navigators. But he just recently has taken a new job. He is deputy to the president, has even committed himself to setting up an office. and keeping office hours. I'm not sure what they are, 10 to 11 maybe. But as you know, Doug Sparks has been in that capacity for Sandy, his deputy, and has picked up a lot of the things that Jim Downing used to do for Lauren. But Doug has been increasingly more involved with PAN. He takes over the directorship of PAN in July of this year. He will be out meeting with all the country leaders, with Joe Simmons, and Joe will ceremonially hand him the reins of PAN at that time. And so his mind is, you know, more and more out in the Orient over the last few months, and trying to think through on what he needs to do and so forth. So Lauren, several months ago, asked Leroy and Virginia to consider sticking closer to home and being his deputy, picking up some of the jobs that Doug has been doing, that Jim Downing did, that George Sanchez did. And Leroy is really excited about it. I've talked to him a couple of times, and he just this last week sat through the whole international leadership team meeting. And if you know Leroy, he doesn't like to sit through meetings. Meetings are not his bag. I mean, you know, the kind where you sit around a table. Meetings where he's standing up here is a different thing. That's his bag. But made a significant contribution and is really excited about being a Lawrence deputy and filling in for him in various speaking engagements and representing him at various functions and standing in for him when Lauren is traveling. So that's Leroy's new job. And it's a variety of different things. As far as his relationship to the U.S., as some of you may know, he had made a commitment to us to give us 2 years of his time. Some of that he is going to be keeping. Others of it he is bowing out of. And he is in touch, I think, with the RDs on that as to what he's keeping and what he can't keep. So I think that's about it on Leroy.
What do you hear from George?
George Sanchez. George is doing well. I've talked to him five or six times, I guess, in the last 2 or 3 months on the phone. Sandy has seen him recently when he came back or went out. I guess he saw him on his way out to Australia and New Zealand. Tom and Dana just spent a couple of days with George and Florine. Wasn't it you? No, it wasn't Tom and Dana. Who was it? No. Well, yeah, Warren saw him. Oh, Wayne Meyer. Yeah, Wayne and Miyoka. They spent a couple of days. I forget who I've been talking to. George is doing pretty good. That's about all I can say right now. George is doing pretty good. Lauren is doing pretty well, too. Yeah.
Is there any chance that maybe move a little bit closer to the Glen?
That's been rumored, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that rumor. Yeah. You know how rumors go, though. Any other questions?
When is he moving back?
I have a question. You said in the meeting, the ILT meeting, that you were talking about positions available overseas. What positions are available for women? Can you give that information?
Oh, I could if I had the right notes here. There are two or three women's rep slots. There's one for Japan. I can't remember where else, but there are about three, maybe four women rep slots that are open in different countries. Japan, I know for sure, but I can't remember where the other ones were. Carol Ross is going to Indonesia, we hope. I'm sorry, I just did. Okay. Yeah.
Jack, I heard we're increasing our fundraising staff, and I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. We have felt for some time that we just needed to increase our efforts in fundraising and in getting out and letting people know about our needs, and that just takes manpower to do that. So we're doing it in two areas. Bringing Russ Reed in to work with John Watts is in the area of planned giving and that aspect of it, which is a very specialized area of fundraising, and we felt for a couple of years that Russ could do really a good job in that area, and so we've been negotiating with him to drop Glen Eyrie and go to work there, and finally we came to the point where he felt he wanted to do that. Then, as you know, we brought Bob Potter in 2 or 3 years ago, and we're adding Francis Cosgrove this next fall, I think it is. And we're just trying some new things in the area of fundraising. Francis, for instance, will be giving an emphasis to churches, ministering to churches with the idea of informing them about the Navigators, getting them behind us in terms of both prayer and financial support. This thing, the Daily Walk, is something that Rod felt God was leading him to try just as an experiment. Well, the thing is, it's gone clear off the charts in terms of what we could have expected, and it just takes more manpower to keep that up. And we don't know what the future of it is. It's a tremendous ministry tool, but it is also putting us in contact with people who are very much interested in the Navigators and want to contribute financially. And the interesting thing about it is, with very little effort, it has paid for itself, plus. And the letters that we get on the Daily Walk, as far as the ministry it has in the lives of people, are really amazing. So these are, and there are some other things also that we're going to be trying in the area of fundraising that is going to cause us to keep probably adding some staff in that area.
President's
yes.
Council.
Yeah, the President's Council is another thing that Sani is involved in with Rod and with Donald McGilchrist. And we're now planning two of those conferences a year, and it's primarily to minister to businessmen. But as a result of that ministry to them, which is the main thing that is behind it, what happens is these guys want to have a part. We don't even have to say anything about finances. We had one in January, and Howie Hendricks is here. Sandy spoke, Leroy spoke, Donald McGilchrist spoke for 2.5 days. And as a result of that, there's a group of men that come out of that who have come to us and said, we would like to form a small committee and take the initiative, and we would like to be responsible for raising $200,000 a year for the Navigators. You know?
You don't want to do it?
I think we will, yeah. Yeah. It's put out by Walk Through the Bible. Yeah.
I've seen that with other people.
Right. The content's the same. They only change the cover and the envelope, the return envelope. Yeah. We were considering for a while doing our own, but we punted that for the time being, but it's something down the road that we may want to do. Okay? All right, let's take Tom's suggestion and wrap this up with prayer. Denny Repko and Paul Drake. And Fred Funches, would you three guys lead us in prayer? And particularly, as Tom suggested, remember the RDs as they travel overseas and minister in these various places. And then Carol and I would appreciate your prayer for our trip. Okay?
Father, we thank you for tonight, the report of what you're doing. We give you the praise, the honor, and glory. We thank you for the freedom and the interest, and it's just exciting to hear about what you are doing. We praise you for it. We do think of Carol tonight. We pray
that she might give her not only much grace, but love and that which she can share with joy and be a very special comfort to her sister. Lord, for their trip overseas, let us see you those 10 long weeks. We pray that they might be filled by your Spirit and that you might find them channels, vessels, very available to you. And they might not only minister, Lord, but be gathering further insights that would be very important to the expansion of our work in Europe toward the great commission. We ask you for this in Christ.
Thank you, Father, for being, for the glorious privilege of being co-laborers together in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, for the commission that you've given us to go into all the world and not only preach the gospel but make disciples. We thank you for this good report from Nate. We pray for that meeting this summer. And we do pray for the RVs that they get together, that there would be awareness of your presence there, that you would guide them in their thinking and their interaction, that you would develop new friendships among them that would be lasting and beneficial to the kingdom's work as well as to one another. And as we think about all this traveling and change in diet and also in the water and so on, sleeping conditions and so on, we commit all that to you, Lord, and your sovereign grace, that you would give traveling mercy. We do thank you that you are the God of all mercy, and for all the miles that we travel, you want to offer us the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving unto you for the safety that you've given this game. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts these days, not only here in the Navigators, but around the world, how you're continuing to fulfill your promises to increase our numbers, and that as we lay down our lives, that you'll give people for our lives. Thank you for this good report on Jackson Farrell's book and how it's going to be translated now into another language. We pray you'll use that to draw couples closer to yourself and to one another, and it would be a praise unto your name. We thank you for the privilege that we have to offer up praise unto you, who is worthy of all of our praise.
Father, you told King David that you had made him king over Israel for the sake of your people, Israel. You got to feel in the right time that you have called men to lead the Navigators for the sake of your people that are in the Navigator organization. I'd just like to thank you, Father, for the men who have been chosen and been given that divine appointment by you to lead us. Father, we thank you for Jack and for his ministry. Thank you, Father, that you've given to he and Carol such an abundance of wisdom and working with couples and being the administrator that we particularly need at this time. I'd ask, Father, that you give Jack great wisdom as he ministers to the military staff in Europe, and then, Father, continues to minister to the mission staff there working in Europe as well. Lord, we have listened to the schedule outlined by Jerry White, and we ask, Lord, that you would sustain him through a very hectic schedule of ministering in England. And God, we also know that Bob's schedule in Spain and Europe is going to be very, very hectic to meet him. Lord, we ask that you give him strength and wisdom and pacing himself, and then, Lord, a real desire to serve the ministry there and provide for them, Lord, your leadership. But ask, Lord, they continue to look to you for the guidance and for real wisdom in those areas. Father, as Ray goes into Eastern Europe, we ask God that he have extra wisdom on how to handle the information that he has in keeping the work there protected from loose lips. We pray, God, that you would guard the tongues of this group and the tongues of the other people who know about things like the conference in Zagreb. God, we just ask again for his protection in so many areas that he's in that country that could be hostile to what he would be doing. Father, for Jim White tonight. I ask that you give him a joyous time of being back with the Africans that he served for the years before. Lord, I'm not aware of all the needs there of what Jim will be facing, but I'd ask God to even out to afford him. Smooth out the rough spots and give him a godly ministry to gain to his point. Thank you, Lord, for his influence and what he's brought to this particular organization. And Father, for Terry, as he visits with Steve Cabell's ministry, and I pray that you'd uplift that ministry and to give him Steve's insight and how he can contribute to Steve and to the men that are laboring in a country that's very dead spiritually. God, I ask that through Terry that you can light some fires of real revival among your people there that would lead to an evangelistic awakening again in England that you've already done in the past. And Father, there are so many other things that are going on that it keeps my mind almost a burden to think about praying for it. And Father, I ask that you give me and the rest of us a deeper desire to pray for things like the Arab Conference and Nate Merce and the international ministries. And Lord, again, the burden for prayer for those things gets to be pretty heavy. And God, confess my own lack of desire to pray for those things. And I pray that you continue to stoke us and to find ourselves with an interest in praying for other people and other places. Again, Lord, we'd like to ask that you keep us centered on what you call us to do, and yet at the same time, Lord, keep our vision expanded. We do pray for what you've been doing and for what you're going to continue to do. We pray in Jesus' name.
Just let me say in closing how much I appreciate all of you. I pray for you, not by name, but I pray for you regularly. And I count it a privilege to be a part of this gang. I really do. And just to participate in this ministry together. And the sacrifices and the commitment that each of you have made and are continuing to carry out under God's calling. I really count it a privilege to be a part of this bunch. It's the greatest gang in the world. I'd like to leave you with a verse of Scripture that I'm just trying to memorize, and I'm not sure I can get it right, but I know the reference. So if I get it wrong, you can at least look it up. But it's a tremendous passage. It's Psalm 35:27, and it says something like this: "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified." Something like this: "Which takes delight in the prosperity of his servant." Isn't that fantastic? That the Lord takes delight in the prosperity of his servant. And that's you. That's us. Huh? Fantastic. Thank you.